The church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was a soft amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Now, unless you have a problem with your throat today, if you don't have no laryngitis or if your throat's not hurting, you can shout again. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm so excited about the Lord. I'm so excited in terms of what he has done for us. I'm so excited to know that he is doing great things for you right now because he already has. And somebody say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, everybody's going through something. But with the grace and the help of the Lord, amen. Y'all pray for me today, amen?
Amen.
Thank God for all of those. Thank God for the visitors. Thank God for everyone here. And thank God, Brother Dwayne, Sister Candace. God bless you. Amen. So God is good. His mercy and do it forever. We're not going to hold back any time because we're going to focus on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And thank God because that's the essence of our visit here is being with, surrounded by the Word of God. Everybody pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, your kindness, and your love, Father. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for all those that are here, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. This glorious day that we have in Christ Jesus, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your eternal workings, Father. And, Lord, right now we ask that everything that's said today, Father, every move that's made, Father, let it glorify, let everything point to Christ. Hallelujah. Father, because we know that when everything goes down, Jesus Christ and him crucified shall be our focus, shall be our steadfast position, Father. Right now, Father, we ask that you would breathe upon everyone here according to your will, Father. Lord, whatever the trials, tests may be, Father, we ask that you would help everyone here to have an eternal focus, an eternal viewpoint of what you did for us in eternity. And Father, we thank you, Lord, and help us to always be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that all the people of God say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God for the Word of God today. Amen. And thank God for another day. And I know, by the way, at this church, in fact, should be every church, the only personality that we acknowledge is Christ. Amen. The only spiritual entity that should be in the church is Christ.
Amen.
Because when everything else goes down, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is still steadfast. But having said that, the Bible does say give honor to whom honor is due. So we just thank God for Pastor's birthday today. Amen. And the Lord bless the pastor have another birthday. And I thank God for birthdays, but we can go back to focus on Christ. And that's one thing I learned about birthdays. The kids, when they're in their teenage years, they think they can live forever. But I learned one thing. When you get over 50, thank God for another year. Amen. So I know these birthdays will come and go, but I thank God for another year. Amen. And on top of everything, if you look through to what we are dealing with, saints, we have to, as a body of Christ, Lord, help us always. We have to always have an eternal focus on everything we're dealing with. We must have an eternal focus. And when we say an eternal focus, we need to understand that everything that you're going through in time is one day going to pass away. But our focus has to be on Jesus Christ. Our motive, our purpose, everything has to be on Jesus Christ. In other words, the Bible tells us that in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, you don't have to go there because that's not our base scripture, but we are going to lead up to our base scripture in a few minutes. But it does say that since ye have risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Yes.
For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, the Spirit of God through Paul was not saying that we should not care about, you know, we're dealing with things down here, but our affection, our focus should always be on our position in Christ. And that is an eternal perspective. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of crazy things going down here in time. a whole lot of stuff happening in time. Problems, people killing, fussing, fighting, you name it. But in spite of all these things, we all should have an eternal focus, and that focus is our position in Christ.
Right.
And you know, sometimes when you look at that viewpoint, you see, when you're looking at our position in Christ, what God did for us in eternity. In other words, when you know that you are forever saved, that God chose you before the foundation of the world, no matter what turmoil you can have in time, you can have the peace of God to know that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. And see, sometimes God's people are so consumed with the day-by-day, the affairs in life, that they forget that God has an eternal viewpoint. Everything is already done for us before the foundation of the world. You know, it reminds me of those of you that's over 50, you remember, some of you may remember the old Superman movie. Now, when I say that, now, I'm not talking about the modern one, I'm talking about the old one, that came out in the 50s. And it was interesting because that movie could tell you a lot about our position in Christ in terms of that example. And you know what happened many times in that movie? There was a lot of turmoil that was happening. Usually Clark Kent, you know, he was down here. A lot of crazy things were going on. And all of a sudden, what would happen? He would just, when things had gotten out of hand, he would just go into the phone booth, and all of a sudden, he would fly toward the heavens. And in spite of everything, the crazy stuff was happening down here, you could see the peace, because he knew that no matter what it was, he could take care of it. The bottom line was this. In essence, in that movie, he was basically not from this planet. He was operating by being from another planet. He could operate apart from his physical limitations. In other words, Buddhists, you know the story, Buddhists would bounce off him. He had x-ray vision. He could, in other words, and then all of a sudden, things got crazy. People looked up, and they said, it's a bird. It's a plane. And then they say, it's Superman. And then he would come down and just take care of every situation. But the key was this. When he would go and take care of every situation, it would be like in split seconds, Superman would change back to Clark Kent, and before Lois, when they look around, every problem was solved, and it was like that. It was done. The point is this. We go through all kinds of tribulations, turmoil, problems. But just like that, our problems will be over. But somebody say, I've been going through this thing for 50 years. Listen, if it's 100 years, 12 months times 100 years, 12 months, that's 120 months. In other words, if you compare what you're going through now with eternity, it's snapping your finger. In other words, one day we'll be out of these temporary bodies, and we will have our heavenly bodies, and we will forever be in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ now, but one day it shall manifest in time. Now, that's my introduction. Let's go to the scripture. Amen.
All right.
Let's go to 2 Timothy. Amen. God help us to have the eternal view. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to go right to the King James, and then we're going to read this in the Greek text. And by the way, while you turn to scripture, here at the Grace Gospel Church, it's very important. We basically, we use the King James. However, in all the scriptures, we need to understand one thing. While we're turning this, we need to understand that. How many of you know? First of all, if you look at the time that the Bible was written, the time that God used men to coin the scriptures, do you know at that time the English language was not in existence? Which means that if you really want an accurate analysis of scriptures, we basically use the same instruments and tools that they used when the Bible was written. And that's the original Greek. In other words, the Bible was written in the original Greek. Okay? Now, having said that, Some of you may have a King, most of you probably have the King James Version. Some of you may have other translations. And the translation are fine, but many times you need to go to, with the other translations. Let's say the Greek, because what happens, sometimes they will agree, but many times they will disagree. Because how many know that the Bible was written by man, but thank God, the Word of God is spirit and it is life. Amen. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. All right. We'll read, now mostly we're going to read the King James, and then we'll have Deacon Gav, who's going to be a reader? Alan Nicholson is going to read, let's read this in the King James, and we'll read this also in the Greek text. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, King James Version. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, for those of you that have the King James, you know, what based on what Nicholson, Elder Nicholson just read, it says, with this what? Study to show thyself what? Approved to God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word, rightly dividing. In other words, this Bible, your Bible, has to be rightly divided in order for you to have a clear cogitation, a clear focus on scriptures. If you rightly divide the word of God, you can have peace and understanding in the scriptures. But on the other hand, if you do not divide this Bible, this Bible is going to be a confused book. Man. And the reason that a lot of people, I talked to someone the other day, and they said, you know, Brother Levin, I love the Lord, but I just can't understand the Bible. And I just said, well, I say, first of all, how do you read the Bible? Well, they say every year I start with Genesis, and I keep reading until I get to Revelation. It's okay to read the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with reading the whole Bible, but if you read the whole Bible like it's a novel, you will be confused. You'll be totally confused. One day you don't know whether or not you're saved or lost. Because what's going to happen, you're going to have a lot of problems. Because one day you're going to read over there where Jesus told his disciples, go and baptize. And then you're going to read over there Paul's writings, for he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now how can you reconcile that if you don't divide the Bible? Well, which one is true? This is all true. But you have to understand that this Bible has to be divided according to different messages. What God says for Israel and what God says to the body of Christ are two different things in many cases, which we're going to see. But let's read this in the Greek. Let's read this in the Greek, Elder Nicholson, please.
In the Greek text, be eager thyself approved to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Read that one more time, Elder Nicholson.
Be eager thyself approved to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight. In other words, Paul tells Timothy. Now, how many of you know that Timothy was a student of Paul? We know that, right? Paul tells Timothy, first of all, he tells Timothy, you have to what? Study this word. Amen. And you have to what? Meditate on this word. You have to study this word.
Amen.
And it amazed me about all these colleges, and thank God for colleges. You know, nothing wrong with colleges and schools. I'm a school teacher, so I believe in education. But I was thinking, I said, you know, if where would people be spiritually if they put as much time into God's word as they put in time in pursuing that master's or that doctorate degree? Where would they be, what, spiritually? Okay, we're not minimizing the education, but God says study. And he tells Timothy to study what? Well, look at history. Timothy was a student of the word. He was taught by his mother and grandmother. Timothy knew the Old Testament. Timothy knew some things that Jesus said in the Kingdom Gospel. But Paul tells Timothy to cut it straight.
Amen.
Timothy, if you want to be a blessing, this word to be a blessing, you divide this word.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, if you just look at the whole Bible as one piece of information, you try to what? And try to what? interpret that as one message, you'll never understand the Bible. In other words, Paul tells Timothy to divide, cut it straight. Now we know everyone here, if you have some scissors, you know when you have a piece of paper and you take some scissors and you what? Cut it. When you cut that paper, what's going to happen? It's going to automatically be what? Divided into what? Different components. Whether it's one, two, three, or four. And in essence, when you look at the dispensations and covenants, God had different messages based on who his audience was. And the problem is that people take scripture and they say, well, it's in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, I'm going to run with it. Well, if it's in the Bible, and if it's in your dispensation, which we'll get in a few minutes, if it's in your contract, run with it. But many times, God's people are confused because they have not rightly divided the word. And when you divide the word, you will be blessed because you know that it may be written for me, but it may not be written to me. And the word of God, you should ask yourself one question. Based on what I just read, is it written for me, or is it written to me? Now, when the Bible tells that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, that's in what? Paul's writings. It's for the Grace Church. You know that's written to you. You know you can run. Anything that's written in those epistles, from Romans to Hebrews, it's written directly to you. And if it's not written to you, then you better read it with the light of understanding, because you may be reading some other people's mail.
Right, man.
The other day I got a thing in the, you know, sometimes these post office people, they make mistakes. You know what I mean? And what they did, they sent a big envelope to my address. And man, that thing was big. And I said, what? Is this some money or something, you know? And I looked at that thing and said, it had my next door neighbor name on the envelope. And I knew that that mail was not my mail. So when Pat came on to Pat, they made a mistake. Here's what. Whatever it is, it's yours. You need to understand what's written to you. Because many times, what is written for you may not be written to you.
Amen.
And if you read God's word, and if you think that's written to you, you're going to have some problems.
Amen.
Let's take the scripture.
All right.
Everybody loves the scriptures.
Amen.
That in the Old Testament, God makes a statement. He tells a prophet, and we all heard the scriptures, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. And many of God's people have taken that out of context, and they run around with that. Now, when it says no weapons formed against you going to prosper, you're going to have some problems. Because how many of you know there's probably not one person in here you know, or somebody, maybe a dear friend, somebody you know that what have passed away in a what? They may have gotten died in an accident. They've got what? One day they were living, the other day they what? Check out of here. Now, if you say, remember, the Bible says that no weapons formed against you shall prosper, what happened? Well, see, you need to understand. Let's look at that scripture in the light of what God was saying. First of all, that scripture, no weapons formed against you shall prosper, who was the audience there?
All right.
God was talking to Israel.
Man.
He told Israel, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. And many times when you read the Bible in light of what God told the prophets and in the kingdom gospel, it was written based on what's going to happen in the future. Now, if you take that for literally, if you say, Israel, no weapons formed against you are going to prosper. Well, we know in time there have been a lot of things that's been formed against Israel that have prospered. They have been what? Killed, slaughtered, the Holocaust, so many things. But look at the scripture from what God's viewpoint. In the future age. During the tribulation period. And by the way, for those in the body of Christ, relax, because you're not going to go through the tribulation. You know what? Do you know that was deliverance for me right there? When Pastor talked 4 weeks, and I was 10 years ago, I was a Christian, but I was what? Nervous. Because I thought, that one day, man, if I didn't, quote, live upright before God, by the way, who can walk upright before God all the time?
Nobody.
And I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to go through the tribulation period. But what deliverance came to realize that God has not chosen the body of Christ to what? Wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was deliverance for me to know that when the rapture comes, you will be caught up with the Lord and you will not be going through the tribulation period.
I hear you.
That was deliverance right there.
I hear you.
Yeah, but take it one step further.
I hear you.
God told Israel, when all the nations are going to come against you, including the United States.
Yeah.
See, right now, we look at the fact that, yeah, it's by God's design that right now we are what? The protector of Israel. But one day, church, God is going to remove all the what?
All the crutches.
Israel is going to have no one to look to but God.
Man.
You mean tell me one day this nation can turn against God? Yes. The Bible says all nations.
Man.
And God said, all, he meant all. So when the Antichrist is going to turn his ugly head and battle with another deliverance, you do not have, because you're not going through the tribulation, you do not have to be concerned with taking the mark of the beast.
No.
Hello?
No,
because
man.
You, that is for the non-elect. If you are elect in the body of Christ, you do not have to worry about taking the mark.
No.
And there are a lot of God's people can't get no sleep. In turmoil, because one day they feel that they're gonna be hungry, and they say, I'm gonna take the mark. If you were chosen before the foundation of the world, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
You see, you get this information in our gospel, in our contract, the writings of Paul, the revelation of the mystery, that volume of truth that God gave to Paul, you don't get this information in other parts of the Bible.
Amen.
So what happens? When they come against Israel, they're gonna look up. And God is saying, they're going to come against you. All nations are going to try to what? Destroy this what? Little tiny nation. And God is going to say, in that day, you look up. Because they can point these nuclear weapons. They can put that, no matter what they do. At that time, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. But you can't say that. I mean, hey, listen. Thank God. You can't say that if you have a symptom of a flu. And we've all had some of that. You can't say that. Well, take care of yourself. But you can't say that, well, I'm never going to get the flu again. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, I'm sure when you go to Providence, Sinai, you go to a lot of these hospitals, a lot of God's people are there, what? Are in the hospital.
Yes.
You can't say that you're never going to get cancer.
Amen.
But thank God if things happen, pray for healing. But thank whatever it is, understand that God controls all things.
Yes.
But if you understand, what you understand is this. You must divide this word according to dispensation of covenants. Whatever is written in the Bible, you must ask yourself, is it written to me or is it written for me? In other words, taking us one step further, you will find that what God has for the nation of Israel is different than what he has for the body of Christ. I repeat, what God has for the nation of Israel is different than what God has for the body of Christ. And you know, when you go to the average church, because I've been there, see, in my course of walking with the Lord these past 20 plus years, see, the Lord leads all of us differently.
Right.
But see, I call myself, I used to be a yo-yo Christian. I mean, I would jump at this place for 4 years. And then before you know it, I jump in another place for what? 5 years. And I jump in another place for, you know what I mean? So I move around a lot in terms of different churches. So many times, so you name I've seen it, in terms of what, a lot of times what's being preached.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that's being preached. And I've always wondered, I said, why is that so much preaching is on the Old Testament? So much preaching is on, is even in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which is wonderful. But why was there so little preaching on Paul's epistles? First of all, you understand, when you read Paul's epistles, and I thought about this, I said, wait a minute, people that understand, read the Bible, first of all, people know, just look at a little history, that Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, I think that no matter what denomination fuss and fight about, I think that most of them will understand, will agree, that the Apostle Paul was an apostle to what? The Gentiles.
Right.
Right. You can't get away from that. He was an apostle to people that had no prior relationship with God. Then I say, well, if that's the case, why would they focus on scriptures where at that time you had no relationship with God? I hear people say, oh, I wish I was in the day. In fact, the other day, 2 weeks ago, they had the Ten Commandments on TV. Yeah. And I it was some stuff wasn't quite true, but overall, I like that movie, yeah, the Ten Commandments. And I know, when they had that rod, when Moses was up, and they got out of Pharaoh's army, and Moses put that rod across over the Red Sea, and what happened? That sea opened up. A lot of people said, oh, I wish I was there. When Moses and the children of Israel, we know the story, they walked on dry land. And then they'll say, I wish I was there. Mm-hmm. When little David with a slingshot. And what happened? Goliath, this mighty warrior, how David what? Mm-hmm. Killed him. And David said, oh, I wish I was there. Mm-hmm. And then they say, I wish I was there when God took the, you know the story, in the hungry lions. And God went down there and the lions, they were going to destroy Daniel. And they say, I wish I was in the lion's den. Mm-hmm. And then they go, they read over there in Jesus' ministry. When they say, oh, I wish I was there when Jesus what? Fed the thousands. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Mm-hmm. Well, look at, you know, it's amazing. History will clear up a lot of things. When you read from this from a historical viewpoint, God's early dealings with humanity was primarily focused to the nation of Israel. In Jesus' ministry, did he not say, he told his disciples, do not go by way of the Gentiles.
I hear you.
He said, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told Peter, James, and John, do not take the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. I'm sorry, to the Gentiles. And if you don't understand that, you would think Jesus hard. Because we know the story. The Syrophoenician woman, I feel so sorry for her. The Lord, she was so humble. She said, Lord, come and what? Heal my daughter. Mm-hmm. And it caused a problem because you know that everything Jesus said was true.
Right.
He is God, the Son of God, is God in the flesh. So you know that what he said is true. It's got to be right. Because he's holy, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's everything. But for years, I said, let's use our language. He said, get away from me, daughter. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, he said that. Was that true? Yes, it was true. But I still feel sorry for the woman. Well, understand, the message in Jesus' ministry was focused to the nation of Israel. Everything he did, he said, take this gospel to the kingdom, take it to the nation of Israel.
I hear you.
And if you want to be living, if you go back in time, if God will allow you to go back, and if you will come up to Jesus, more than likely he would tell you, get away from me.
I hear you.
Because you're a Gentile. It was only in the revelation of the mystery that we have the information that in this dispensation that God does not have any preference of Jews over Gentiles. But look at the wisdom of God. Look at the wisdom of God. At that time, in times past, God had Israel elevated over the Gentile nations. In Jesus' ministry, Israel was elevated.
Yes, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Then God knocks Paul off the animal and saves and takes him to a desert Arabia for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he's in Bible. Can you imagine being in Bible class for 3 years?
I hear you.
One-on-one with the Lord? Mm-hmm. Have mercy. Can you imagine? And the volume of truth that God gave to Paul in this dispensation, Israel, the Jews, are not elevated over the Gentiles. What God has done, God has reversed the role. In other words, the body of Christ, in essence, we are elevated over the nation of Israel.
Come on now. I hear you.
So why shall focus on a contract that is not as powerful as mine?
I hear you. All right. Come on. I hear you.
And if you are a Gentile, and if I could look at a good assessment around here, I think we're all Gentiles by ethnicity.
I hear you.
God, in essence, has elevated you above the nation of Israel.
I hear you.
Absolutely.
You have a prioritized position.
Yeah. Come on now.
Than the nation of Israel.
Come on now.
And what God has for them, He has some great plans. By the way, we're not minimizing God's plans. He has some great plans. You know, He told Israel, He told what? See, that's where now you get to the prophets. What God told Daniel, what God told Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Haggai, Nahum, Moses. What God told His word through the prophets is that one day I am going to set up an everlasting kingdom.
Yeah, come on with.
But that kingdom is confined to the earth. And He said that in this kingdom there'll be no more diseases, there'll be no more heartache. This will be an everlasting kingdom that as the waters covers the land, it would be an everlasting kingdom that's going to be run by Jesus Christ from Jerusalem.
I hear you.
Yeah.
The everlasting kingdom.
That's right.
Amen. But we're going to see in a few minutes that what God has
for you
is a lot more.
Hear you.
What He has for the nation of Israel is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But what He has for you and me is a lot more.
I hear you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to see if you want to read some mail, are you going to read mail where you have lesser benefits or more benefits?
Amen. I hear you.
Thank God for His workings. We just have more what? Benefits in our contract. So you must understand. Let's look at some things, what God said to the common. Let's do some, for the next 20 minutes, let's compare. Mm-hmm. Let's do some comparison.
Yeah.
Because it's not a matter of what man's opinion is. Because
right.
Man's opinion can change overnight. How many of you know that?
I hear you.
But God's word will never change.
That's right.
I hear you.
Forget about man's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It can change.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Talked to a friend the other day. They said, you know what? I've been going to church for 25 years. And they said, you know, it's like this third generation of family. They said, it's amazing. In 25 years, they went back 25 years, some things that this local church. You know, by the way, there's only one church. You know it, right? There's only one church, the body. It's only one church. All those elected, whether it's Jews and Gentiles, it's only one church, called out elect ones. But it's amazing. They said 90% of the things that were in this church, that they said, this is the Bible. What they said, 90% of things they don't follow anymore, because you know. See what happened, man. What man's opinion?
Mm-hmm.
But God, see, man's opinion is gonna change, but God's word never changes.
I hear you.
What was true in eternity is still true. It never changes. It can never change because it's the living word. Now let's look at this. Go to in the Commonwealth of Israel. What about Israel? This is a nation chosen by God and sustained by His covenant promises to them. You find that in Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. Not all individuals identified as associated with this nation are God's elect. Only God knows those who are actually His. In other words, in the nation of Israel, what are we saying? A lot of people may have a Jewish affiliation today. But only God knows who belongs to Him.
Right.
Only God knows. What about the body of Christ? Well, the church is called out assembly of believers who were baptized into the body of Christ. Every member of the body of Christ is saved, though it is possible there are multitudes that are associated who may not be God's elect. Only God knows those who are actually His. I repeat, only God knows those who are actually his.
Come on now.
That should be a lesson to all of us about judging people based on the way they act.
I hear you.
Because if you judge people, but you may say, brother, but you don't know how bad they're acting. But look at how bad you acted sometimes.
I hear you.
We've all been there.
I hear you.
So if you judge people by the way they act, we all act up sometimes. And if God based salvation on how many times we mess up, none of us would be saved.
I hear you. I hear you.
Have mercy. Because when you're in this natural body, we are saved in eternity, but you still have a fleshly body that you have to deal with through the Holy Spirit.
I hear you.
And that bad boy acts up sometimes.
I hear you.
That bad boy gets angry he shouldn't be. That bad boy will curse sometimes. Oh, Lord. In fact, we're not glorifying these things, but we're just saying we're being honest. Because before I thought the day I messed up, the day that I had a bad day, I would go to bed, oh Lord, I hope the rapture will come tonight, because based upon the day I had, I'd be left behind.
I hear you.
Because I was basing my salvation on my good works,
yeah,
or bad works. And who can measure up to the work, to the standard of God?
I hear you.
Nobody. So, we should not judge. And you know what? It's going to be a testimony to the honor, to the glory of God. The ones that you have already put in hell, in the wisdom of God, you're going to see, wow, they're here. And on the same token, that holy roller who you thought was inside and in God, that person wasn't even elected.
I hear you.
Salvation is of the Lord. You let God handle his business.
Amen.
We are created in Christ Jesus to good works. Thank God. When you create in Christ Jesus to good works, the Spirit of God will work through you. But understand, in time, some of God's people are going to manifest in terms of works more than others. But you can't put them out. Some of God's people ain't been in church in 10 years. Does that mean they're not saved?
No.
No. Is that God's what? That's God's plan for their life right now. Mm-hmm. I talk to many people in the dry point of their life. They ain't been in church in so many years.
Man.
The time that they were out of church, they were still elected, God's elect.
Yeah, I hear you.
Absolutely.
If the rapture had come then, they would have been gone out of here.
That's right.
So you don't get this information in the other writings. So you need to understand that don't judge people based on what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight.
I hear you.
And these preachers, hate to say it, but don't study. I heard him say, well, you know what? Yeah, but God sent me to be a fruit inspector. He should inspect his own fruit.
I hear you.
Because if you watch him 24/7, you say, oh, Lord, is this my minister? Lord, let me find another church.
I hear you.
Understand.
Amen.
The man that wrote 3/4, the one we're talking about now, the epistles of Paul, who wrote 3/4 of our country, all the epistles, but wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, he said in Romans 7, the things that I shouldn't do, that I do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the things that I would not, that I, in other words, he says, who is the what? It's a struggle between the spirit man and the what? The natural man. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But notice, this, our position in Christ is secure. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's go right into, well, since most of you have the Greek, we have time. Let's read the King James, and then we'll read the Greek. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13.
You want the King James first?
All right, we're going to read the King James. Since most people have the King James, we're going to read the King James first, and then we're going to jump and read, we're going to read the Greek text, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
King James King James Version. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
For by one spirit are we all baptized, what? Into one body. Keep reading, Elder.
Whether we be Jews.
Whether we be Jews.
Or Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
Whether we be bond.
Uh-huh.
Or free.
Uh-huh.
And have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Okay, now you remember we said you have to go to the Greek? Because, again, the King James messed up here on one part of this translation. Understand, the Bible was originally written in Greek. So let's see, Elder, read this in the Greek text.
For indeed,
by one spirit,
we all into one body,
were baptized. Past is called an aorist tense. Past complete action. You were baptized. Keep going, Elder.
Whether Jews or Greeks. Whether slaves or free.
Slaves or free.
And all one spirit.
All one spirit. Notice.
Were we given to drink.
You were baptized. Past complete action. Man would tell you, you must be baptized this way in time. God says you were already baptized. Right. You are because you were.
I hear you.
You were baptized. Now here there are many people trying to go through all these rituals, trying to get saved. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. It's a lot of people in their mind, they say, oh, I'm trying to get saved.
I hear you.
And knowing in the eyes of God, you already were saved.
I hear you.
You already were baptized. Now somebody said, what did Paul mean when he said you were already baptized? First of all, the word baptism, see, going to the nation of Israel, the word baptism is only means identification. In other words, Israel was identified with Christ, who they belonged to. I'm sorry, Israel in the Old Testament. They were what? Identified with God, Jehovah, and part of the sign that God used was what? Circumcision, baptism, as a point of identification. Our identification today is we are in Christ. And which means that baptism means what? To be placed in Christ.
I hear you.
Now, here's the question. When were you placed in Christ? Because if you want to know when you were replaced in Christ, or when you were placed in Christ, then the thinking should be, wait a minute, if I were already were, that means nobody can tell me I'm not now.
I hear you.
Why would somebody say you're not now when God said you already were?
I hear you.
Let's go to Ephesians real quick. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Amen. By the way, when you come to the Grace Gospel Church, please bring your Bible. If you don't bring a Bible, we give you one. Because everything we say, we're going to hide behind the scriptures. See, we're not going to hide behind a man. We're going to hide the scriptures. Let the pastor always say, let the scriptures do the walking and the talking.
I hear you.
And ask yourself one question. Does the word say this?
Yes.
All right. Elder, read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Now, what do we want to analyze? When were you placed in the body of Christ? It said, when were you baptized?
Man. You want King James or
Go right to the Greek. Y'all have the King James, but we're going to go right to the Greek for time's sake. So let's go right into the Greek for this here.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Is everybody at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. From the Greek text. Bless the God and Father of the Lord of us.
Bless the God and Father the Lord of us. Keep going.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
The one having blessed us with every blessing spiritual.
The one having blessed us with every blessing spiritual. Keep going, Elder.
In the heavenlies in Christ.
In the heavenlies in Christ.
As he chose us in him.
As he chose us in him. When?
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world.
That we should be holy. That we should be holy.
Uh-huh.
And unblemished. Before him in love.
In love. Let's look at this. The Bible tells God chose you in him before he created the heavens, before he created the earth. You were already chosen by God.
I hear you.
Before God said, let there be light. You mean God already knew you before you were even born? Understand, if you look at this from the spiritual eye, do you know you have already been with Christ? See, if God chose you before the foundation of the world, that means that you have already been, you have always been in Christ.
Amen.
But see, here's the way most people treat salvation. Here's the way most people treat salvation. Think about this. Look at the time you were born. Think for a moment, the time you were born and the year you were born. Mm-hmm. For those, just think about the year, amen? You were born, you were taught that what happened? You were born, you grew up, you lived like the devil. You did this, you did it. By the way, don't start naming something, we can all name stuff, right? You did this, you did that, and one day! And that one day could have been what? You going to church. Or you could have been what? The TV. One day, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was on my way to hell. But then, when the light came, now I'm on my way to heaven. Not knowing that you were always, always, always on your way to heaven.
I hear you. Come on, preacher.
And somebody said, but what about the time that came and it seemed, and I had a hunger for God and you know, and most of us can identify with maybe Christ at the point where you were drawn to God. Understand that moment in your life was not the initiation of your salvation. That moment was the revelation of your salvation.
Come on now. I hear you. I hear you.
That moment, God just in his own wisdom just gave you the information in terms of what he already did for you.
I hear you.
Which means that if you, somebody say, well, this person, I remember I used to shoot up drugs and then the next year I got saved. Well, in the eyes of God, if that person shot up drugs and they had died, they still would have been in Christ.
I hear you.
You have always been in Christ. See what happens. If you get this straight, it'll clear up a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It'll clear up a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
To know that you have always been in Christ. Mm-hmm. See, people understand. History will tell you. It's one thing that I thought about this. Why is it that when Paul began to preach, now by the way, people fuss over a lot of stuff, but there's one other thing that people, I'm sure we can get everybody, theologians, to agree with, that the Apostle Paul had a rough road. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we can agree that this man, we can also agree with this, from the time, have you ever thought about this? Why is it that the time that Paul began to preach this gospel, they wanted to kill him?
Yeah.
The Jews, they tried to do everything they could, get rid of this man. Understand, in fact, there are many times that Paul had a problem with the kingdom apostles, mainly Peter. So don't buy the misconcept that Peter and Paul were preaching the same thing.
I hear you.
Peter and Paul were not preaching the same thing, because if they were preaching the same thing, they would never have a fuss and fight.
I hear you.
They were preaching two different messages.
Gospels. Two different gospels. I hear you.
To Peter,
man,
God through Christ gave him the gospel of the kingdom of God.
I hear you. Come on now.
To Paul, God gave him the gospel of the grace of God.
I hear you. I hear you.
And they are two distinct gospels with two different messages.
Amen. 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 Another amen.
And if you do not divide these messages, you're going to be confused.
I hear you.
Because you can read what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You can read what Jesus said. He said,
Jesus.
And some of you, for years,
yeah,
this scripture enslaved me.
Yeah.
See, I can talk honestly because I can see, I know from experience that you better divide this Bible,
mm-hmm,
or you'll be confused.
I hear you.
Because I love my wife and my daughter back there, but they say for years that they love my dad, but my dad was confused. Man, y'all excuse me, I did some dumb stuff.
Yeah.
I ain't getting that, man. Not designed this Bible would mess you up.
Yeah.
I was off on the dates one time. Gotta get off to the date thing. Oh, the Lord come on this date. And my wife said, don't you tell those kids that. The Lord will come, kids. Get your house together. Who are you going to get the house together?
Uh-huh.
Get off the food thing. That time didn't have two pennies rubbed together. And my wife went to the store and everything I saw, PR pork. You know the Kellogg's food.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. I read over there. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you eat this stuff, you sin. Hello. If you eat, God, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
That God say that if you eat anything with the hood, you know, that's the, what, the pig, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I told the kids, we're getting rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Not dividing this Bible would mess you up.
I hear you.
If it went down, I had a problem with my job. I said, man. Boy, if I had something, he'd mess up my bonus money. I get, so I said, I know I had forgiveness for probably a year on that guy, right?
Uh-huh.
The day I read all them scriptures, you say, wait a minute.
Yep.
If you do not forgive men their trespasses, your Father ain't gonna forgive you. So I said, uh-oh. So I live I live 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on condemnation. I ain't used to me praying. I ain't forgive him. Like I can't forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the message for the kingdom. This messianic gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our gospel tells us, because we operate on a higher information, more information. It tells us,
right.
No, we do not forgive,
mm-hmm.
because in other words, if they forgive us, we can forgive them. No, what's our truth? God said, "You forgive one another."
Mm-hmm.
Why? Oh. Even as Christ,
mm-hmm.
for God's sake, hath forgiven you. God forgave you in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? We shouldn't hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't, right?
Amen.
But what? Because God has forgiven us, right?
Amen.
But we know because we are in the flesh. Sometimes, listen, sometimes people have gone for years without forgiving people.
I hear you.
But even though that's not what Christ like,
right.
that does not affect your position in Christ.
Right.
There is security in Christ.
I hear you.
There's love in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's peace in Christ.
I hear
Everything
you.
Is in Christ.
Amen.
And if it's not about in Christ, it ain't about nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's look at another example. You don't divide this Bible. God told Israel. What about Israel? Another. Israel traced their origin to Abraham,
right.
Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob being the father of the 12 tribes. The kingdom church traces its origin to the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 2. They were first placed into the commonwealth of Israel in eternity. In other words, Israel, they were first placed. In other words, but the kingdom church traced its origin on the day of Pentecost. That was the day of the kingdom church.
I hear you.
What about the grace church? The grace church trace its origin to the church of Antioch. Acts chapter 13.
Amen.
When the Gentiles were called to believe the gospel of grace, they were first placed into the body of Christ in eternity. In other words, if you look at the what? The origin. The nation of Israel. Acts chapter 2. The grace church. Acts chapter 13. Now, you remember? We said even history will clear up a lot of things.
Man.
Will clear up a lot of things. See, if you look at the right understanding of the Bible, there are three things that you, when you read the Bible, there are three things that should line up. And if you can get these three things to line up, then you can go with the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, based on what you read, is it true from a historical viewpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at history.
Man.
From a historical viewpoint. Number two, based on what I read, does the grammar support what I just read?
I hear you.
And then number three, based on what I read,
yeah.
can it what? Is it contextual? Is it in contextual alignment?
I hear you.
And the worst thing that people do, they take one scripture and run with it and not going up or above to see what God is really saying.
I hear you.
That's right.
I hear you.
You cannot take one scripture and run with it. You must look at the whole word. So, in fact, a lot of people are fussing. They fuss today over what? Baptisms. Tongues. And see, again, my background, it was like the church I came out of. If they didn't hear a tongue, I mean, no matter what, if there was not a tongue heard, you were on your way to hell.
I hear you.
If you were not baptized, in a way, on your way to hell.
I hear you.
And this church I was out of, this brother, 300 people got baptized that night. I'm going about 15 years ago. And this brother, I mean, you could see the frustration on his face. But he just said, I said, brother, you okay? He said, look, I know I love the Lord. And see, the Bible says, by the way, if you do not have to worry about other people saying you're not saved, because what? The Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit.
That's right.
The Bible says what? Your spirit will bear witness with what? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, that you belong to God.
That's right.
So I don't care what the bishop say, what the pope say, whoever say.
That's right.
Even from your bad days, you know that God is witness to you that you belong to Christ.
I hear you.
But see, they would fuss over Acts chapter 2, see? But from a historical standpoint, let's clear that up. Again, the church I came out of, wait a minute. From a historical viewpoint, when Peter said, you don't have time for that, but when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, ye men, listen, the audience at that time was still the nation of Israel.
Right.
Ye men of Judea, this message is for you.
I hear you.
And at that time, if you came to Peter on the day of Pentecost, if you were not a Jew, Peter would have said, get out of here. You don't belong here.
That's right. Sure,
you were still cut off.
That's right.
So why would somebody go into a part of the Bible and major for doctrine when at that time you were still cut off?
I hear you.
And if you read your Bible, I believe the day of Pentecost occurred before God gave Paul the revelation of the mystery.
I hear you.
Another comparison. In God's placement of Israel, his elect comprised a nation. Understand? One nation when God chose Israel. In God's placement of the body of Christ, his elect consists of all nations.
I hear you.
Yes. Africans. Asians. Mm-hmm. Chinese.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Japanese.
Yes.
In Israel, one nation.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
By the way, historically, go in your Bible, you find in the Old Testament, was there any other nation apart from Israel?
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament. No, it was one nation. In the body of Christ. Oh, by the way, if you look at this thing from a historical viewpoint, there's no such thing as a black church, a white church, a Japanese church, a Chinese church. A church is a church. The body of Christ. Because the body of Christ has no physical affiliation. The body of Christ is all spiritual.
I hear you. Say it now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, y'all pray for me for the next 10 minutes. Amen. Let's keep going. God's eternal plan for Israel, centered in Jerusalem, and will again center in Jerusalem during the tribulation as well as during the millennium. Hence, God's manifested plan for the kingdom church began in Jerusalem and extended to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
Listen to this now. The kingdom church is identified with the risen Christ in the city that comes down to the earth from heaven.
I hear you.
This city, saints, God is going to bring down from what?
Mm-hmm.
From the heavens to the earth.
Yes.
And it's going to be run in righteousness. There'll be no more killing. And that's at that time, what? At that time, you read over there in Isaiah, when he says the little baby will what? Sleep with the serpent. In other words, Our God will remove this curse from the what? Earth. But you remember say, if you do not devour this Bible, you will be messed up. Because somebody read that scripture, say, wait a minute. Jesus said, they said what? In that day, you can lie with a serpent and it won't hurt you. Do you know there have been some sects of Christendom? Right. For they've been what? Playing with snakes. And gotten killed.
Right.
No. In this present evil age, you don't do that. But in that time, when God removed the curse from the earth. Amen. But what's God's plan for the Grace Church? It began in eternity and is manifestly extending to the uttermost parts of the earth. Today's Grace Church is identified with the risen Christ, not with any earthly city, as it is purely a spiritual entity. In other words, the nation of Israel, their focus is that what? New Jerusalem. And thank God for that. It's going to be a beautiful city, right?
Amen.
It's going to be a beautiful city. But see, what Jesus said over there he said, I go to prepare a place for you. See, many times we read that scripture, and then somebody say, would Jesus be there? Well, you'd be there too. Because you can be you in Christ, right? But the focus on our position is not in an earthly city. The focus on our position is in Christ. And every time you get a chance, when you read Paul's writings, have you wondered why you see so much in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ? The Holy Spirit was getting a message across. That our identification is what? In Christ. He's the head, we're the body, we're in Christ. Okay? Let's move on. The hope and expectancy of Israel is purely in the earth. That's why you know Jesus did everything he did in his ministry. He what? Healed the sick, cast out devils, he fed the hungry. It was what? Earthly focus.
Right.
Because the kingdom gospel is earthly focus. The grace gospel is heavenly focus.
I hear you.
Hallelujah.
And I believe we can say, in essence, in the heavens is above the earth.
I hear you.
Is heavenly focus.
Right.
Now notice, the hope and expectancy of the church is heavenly, centering in the glorious appearing of Christ to receive his elect in the heavenlies.
Right.
Listen, in the nation of Israel, God's purpose and plan for Israel was revealed in the Old Testament scriptures and the synoptic gospels. I repeat that again.
Right.
God's purpose and plan for Israel was revealed in the Old Testament scriptures and the synoptic gospels. Listen to this now. God's purpose and plan for the Grace Church was not revealed in the Old Testament, but was revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's why. If you read this, you can understand that our gospel, the gospel of grace of God, has the heavenly focus. Israel's history is in view of Daniel, the 70 weeks, or 490 years, involve animal sacrifices.
Right.
These years will include the tribulation, and Israel's millennium duration will involve the same.
Right.
The Grace Church does not involve any animal sacrifices.
None.
Jesus Christ's sacrifice is commemorated by the means of the Lord's table. In other words, we have a heavenly calling that is what? Above the things around us. Now let me close on this last scripture. Because see, when you understand, you remember we said history clear up a lot of things. And this last scripture, we need to understand. And this scripture will bring out a lot. We discuss the difference in what? The kingdom church, grace church. They're both, God has a wonderful plan for both of these groups. But now, let's look at one thing. Let's close on this, church. Let's close on this Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I repeat. Now, when Elder Dickens read this, I want you to listen carefully. This is the Apostle Peter talking. Now understand now that when Peter was in, wrote this, Peter had some knowledge of Paul's writings. In other words, they ministered together, they preached different messages, but they lived at the same time. Now, having said that, let's read this in the King James. We want to read these two verses. In the King James, this is the Apostle Peter talking.
King James Version. Uh-huh. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, uh-huh, even as our beloved brother Paul.
No, as Peter said, as our beloved brother Paul. Okay?
Also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles.
Notice, Peter's saying what? The wisdom given to Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote what? The great scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter's saying this wisdom that God gave Paul. Now, what about the wisdom that God gave Paul? Keep going, Ella.
Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood.
Hard to be understood. No, church. Peter said that some things that Paul has in his epistles are hard to understand.
Man.
Let's go right into the group. Keep going.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Okay, now let's read this in the Greek. Notice, we just read, Peter said, why did Peter say that some of the, it's right, if you have your Bible open, it says some of the things that Paul has in his epistles. And by the way, most of you in your Bible, if you have Romans, what? Galatians, Ephesians, most of your Bible, it'll say what? The Apostle Paul is the author. It'll say probably everything except Hebrews. And by the way, we believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. In fact, some Bibles will say that Hebrews written by Paul, but we ain't got time for that. But the whole idea is that what? It said, in these epistles, some things are hard to understand. Mm-hmm. Now read this in the Greek, and then we're going to...
And the of the Lord of us long-suffering, salvation deemed, as indeed the beloved of us, Brother Paul, according to the given to him wisdom, wrote to you.
Notice he said, according to him wisdom. Notice he said that what? Paul just said, Peter just said that some things that Paul wrote was hard to understand. There's no doubt that Peter, when Jesus told Peter and his kingdom apostles to go and baptize in my name, and then he read over there in Paul's writings, when he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, there's no doubt that Peter said, that's hard to understand.
Right. Man.
There's no doubt that Peter, when God told in the whole kingdom messianic gospel, that it all focused on one day God was going to do something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One day God was going to deliver.
Right.
But when you read over our gospel, it says God has already done it.
I hear you.
There's no doubt that Peter said, that's hard to understand. It was no doubt that it was hard for Peter to understand that everything was actualized by God's eternal decree.
Everything.
But if you look at this, if you look at the one thing that Peter probably blew his mind in terms of what Paul's writing, that was hard to understand. Now, by the way, we don't have, some things, we don't have to speculate, but some things you can just look at the workings of God and see, and you can make some summaries. For example, y'all know the story of when Paul got the revelation of mystery. He said what? God took him to the third heaven. Whatever God showed Paul, whatever it was so dynamic he couldn't even put it in English. But it was no doubt probably God showed him what we talk about, the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That we are all, for eternity, we've all been what? Linked to this body.
Yeah.
Now, but when Peter said, one thing that was probably stand out more, he said, hard to understand, You remember I said a lot of times history can clear up a lot of stuff? If you could pick one thing that Peter could really not understand, it would probably be this. Let's go to Ephesians. We can close on the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. And let's read this in the King James and the Greek. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14.
King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh.
Notice, Paul is saying we being Gentiles in the flesh. Now, I ask you a question. Were we all Gentiles in the flesh? Mm-hmm. At time, we were all. So this letter is written to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
This letter is written to us. Ephesians. Keep going, Elder.
Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh.
Circumcision, in other words, we were what? Called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Yeah. Verse 12.
That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
You see this? It says, we were strangers from those covenants. In other words, when you read the Old Testament, Gentiles, we had no covenantmental relationship with God. Now, let's balance this out. God still is, even though Gentiles did not have any covenant with God, God still saved some Gentiles in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Okay? But the key is this. Gentiles, here's the key now. Gentiles were saved by election. They were not saved by policy.
Amen.
They were saved because the information we have now, a person was saved, what, before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, even in the, what, all the people that God you worked with, they were all, what, saved before the foundation of the world. They just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know one thing about God? You can be blessed by God and still not know it.
Amen.
In other words, if God based our placement in the body of Christ based on what we understand, what we what? Don't know, or what we know, none of us will make it. But the key is this. In the times, you remember, in the times that we were all in these what? Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, God still what? Saves. Because he already did it. Amen? And close. Let's close on verse 14.
For he is our, well, 13 and 14.
13 and 14.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14.
For he is our peace.
He is our peace.
Who hath made us both one. Has broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
He has made both one. In other words, the knowledge that God, that the enlightenment that Peter said, some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. Understand, Peter was right there when God told the disciples, do not go by way of the Gentiles. He was there when God said, the Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent but to Israel. But now, in Paul's letters, he's saying that what? He's taken Jew and Gentile and made them one in the body of Christ. And in doing this, he has placed the body of Christ over the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Of all the things, and Peter said himself, in some of Paul's writings, it's hard to understand. And as we close, when we focus on the heavenly view, on our position in Christ, when things that happens, God has already determined everything. I would rather serve a God that has already determined everything. And even though some of your days come that you don't quite understand, you know that nothing catches God off guard, because he knows your past, he knows your present, your future. Everything you have is secure in Christ. It all you are secure now because you already have been secure because God had you chosen, elected, and called out before the foundation of the world. And that is why this is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation. That is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless
you. Amen. Amen.